Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alarm bells over the vaping industry. Andrew Osborne is joining us in studio this morning of Vapor Trail in South Buffalo. He's also vice president of the New York State Vapor Association. Andrew, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me this morning, and it's great to have the opportunity to clear up some of this confusion that's been in the news lately.
Yeah, let's talk about first your business. How long have you been in business?
We've been in business in South Buffalo for over 9 years now, and we originally started actually at the Walden Super Flea Market way back in 2010.
So this has been around for a while, even though, you know, vaping has gotten so much attention maybe over the last 3 years or so since 2010. I mean, we're talking about almost a decade.
Yeah, and just in that, you know, in less than a decade, my one single retail location has helped thousands of Western New Yorkers find a reduced harm alternative to what many believe is the deadliest consumer product known to mankind.
And that is cigarettes.
Yes.
How are your customers reacting to the events of just the last couple weeks?
My customers right now are terrified. And it's not because of this scare. It's because they're nervous that the products that they need to stay smoke-free are going to be removed from their access. And that's a scary proposition, especially when you read into any of these news stories and it's clear that these cases of health, of harm to people's health, are all related to illicit black market street drugs. Basically, what we use as e-cigarettes, the nicotine products that help smokers quit, people are now using e-joints, you could call them, to get high. And in a lot of cases, especially in a state like New York where marijuana is illegal, all of those products are black market. There is no legitimate market to get an e-joint from. And when you look at the FDA and the CDC recommendations, and even if you listen to what Roswell has to say, they are clear to indicate that these lung and respiratory issues are related to drug products. It would be more appropriate if you guys were interviewing a drug dealer on the air because they would have more knowledge of what these products that are harming people. We don't sell those in our legitimate businesses. We help people quit smoking using nicotine-based vapor products.
I'm asking you to kind of, you know, speculate here a little bit. Why do you think we've heard only over the last few weeks about all these, whether it's a death or some sort of lung illness, why have these all kind of sprung out at once?
It seems to be clear now that vendors in the marijuana industry have introduced some new chemicals that are not present in the existing nicotine vaping industry. They're not in any e-cigarette products. But now that these new products have been introduced and people are inhaling them, these chemicals are what's making people sick.
The one point on that, the one thing that you keep hearing again and again, whether it's from health officials or a lot of politicians too, is that we don't know what's in vaping products. So when somebody goes into your store or when somebody buys, say, a Juul from a gas station or something like that from a well-known company, do they know what exactly is in those products, what's in those vapor juices?
Well, with the FDA regulations that have been rolling out over the past couple of years, our products are actually required by federal regulation to have ingredients listings, warnings about the nicotine content, all of these things. And not only that, but we're past the point where the ingredients needed to be reported to the FDA. So currently the Food and Drug Administration has the ingredients listing on file electronically of all of the nicotine electronic cigarette products. So they know what's in our product. We've already reported it to them. But what we're looking at right now is a confusion where e-cigarettes are being lumped together falsely with unregulated drugs. And that has the risk of sending the message to the public that e-cigarettes are dangerous when in fact it's these black market e-joints that are causing the harm to people.
So you think this is really unfair that this broad brush is being painted over the entire industry.
Yes, and one of the things that's greatly concerning to me is that flavors are being brought into this discussion, and there is not a single word in the news about flavored products being linked to any of these lung diseases. I can tell you from hearing recently, I'm learning on the fly about marijuana products because I don't even claim to know anything about these products. But what I'm hearing is these products, these e-joints, they're not flavored products. So not only are the products that are making people sick illegal drugs, but they're not flavored products. They taste like marijuana.
And when you talk about these e-joints, so we're talking about ones that are maybe here in New York State, in states where marijuana has not been legalized, to where you can't go to a retailer and buy one of these. You're buying it from, you know, somebody somewhere.
I think what we're talking about is in states where they do have recreational marijuana, these products are regulated similarly to how our vaping, our nicotine products are regulated. And so in these black market states where marijuana is still illegal, you have people creating the product in their own home, introducing chemicals that are not safe for inhalation, but they don't have any care. They don't have any regulations to follow because they are truly drug dealers.
There's been an uproar around the country the last couple of weeks as hundreds of e-cigarette users have come down with severe lung illnesses, and now there are 6 deaths that are related to vaping. We're sorting through this morning with Andrew Osborne of Vapor Trail in South Buffalo. He's also vice president of the New York State Vapor Association. When you hear these stories, Andrew, is the first thing that comes to mind the fact that in these cases, they were not e-cigarettes from reputable sellers like you?
I'm blown away by these stories, frankly. I think it's very confusing and disingenuous of these health groups, you know, the CDC, the FDA, the New York State Department of Health. They're not giving a clear guidance to the public on how to stay away from these things. Instead, they're using this broad stroke to sort of demonize a product that hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers need to stay away from smoking cigarettes.
Oh. How many people who go visit your store are smokers of traditional cigarettes using vapor products to either not use that or wean off of nicotine total? And how many are just going in to try something new? They're not smokers at all.
I'd like to say all of our customers are smokers, but there are some people who have already quit smoking and are using our product to not go back to smoking. But this industry is built on smokers. This is tobacco harm reduction. I consider my store somewhat of like a quit center, if you want to call it that. And 99 out of 100 people that are using this product in my eyes are former smokers, or they are transitioning away from smoking cigarettes.
Is a lot of this uproar right now aimed at teens that are vaping?
Well, that's another part of the confusion. Because now we're using this to wrap teens back into it. And we understand that there is a problem with youth use of this product, just like any age-restricted product. But these health issues, they're happening regardless of age. They're affecting people from 18 to 80. So these health issues have nothing to do with the age of the user. They have to do with the product that's being used. And what we're seeing here is, I mean, if there was a bad batch of penicillin, the CDC wouldn't recommend that we stop using all antibiotics. That's what we're talking about. Two chemically different things. One is making people sick, and so they're recommending that people don't use the other one that's completely unrelated.
Now, your store, you can't sell to anybody under a certain age. So obviously you're not seeing it in the shop. But I'm sure you've heard of the kids who are vaping, whether it's high schools having the issue with it. A lot of the attention is being put on the flavors. You mentioned the flavors before. When it comes to teens and people under the age of 18 vaping, how influential do you think flavors are to that? Do you think they're doing it because of different vape flavors, or is it just because of some other reason? How influential are the flavors into kids vaping?
Well, when I started smoking at the age of 13, I didn't need flavors. I chose a cigarette and I smoked it, and then I was addicted. And back then, the smoking rates in our youth were much higher than they are today. and they're continuing to drop, especially with the introduction of vaping. But flavors are a necessity to adults in this industry, and that's something that really gets lost in the discussion. When we say that a flavor ban, as Governor Cuomo is proposing, would put us out of business, that's because 90% of the product that I sell in my retail store is flavored product. If you could name me one retail store that could lose 90% of their sales and still remain a viable business, please tell me what that is, because I need a future.
Do you think, though, that people, because they're coming to you to stop smoking, they don't want to smoke anymore, like you said, so they're going to vaping. Does the flavor matter as much to them? Are they going to stop vaping entirely because they don't have, you know, strawberry? Instead, it's, you know, a menthol or something else that doesn't have a flavor?
Most smokers of all ages who come into our shop, adults, they want a tobacco flavor. They don't want flavors. Most of our initial starter kits come with a tobacco or a menthol. And then those people come back and tell us that these flavors are terrible. Because what a tobacco flavor actually is, doesn't have any tobacco in it. It's someone like me or a manufacturer in this industry making an imitation of what a cigarette tastes like. Now, if you give a smoker an imitation of what their cigarette tastes like, they're more likely to go to the real thing, which tastes right. So what the flavors actually do is they disassociate you mentally from the taste and the smell of cigarettes so that you don't crave that. And it makes it so that when you do smell a cigarette, it's an undesirable thing because your nicotine device tastes like banana or it tastes like coffee. So really, it's all about not having it taste like a cigarette, because that keeps you associated with the deadly habit that you're trying to stay away from.
Okay. When it comes to teens and trying to keep teens away from vaping, is there a need for bubble gum, cotton candy, or Fruit Loops flavored e-cigarettes?
What there is a need for is legitimate industry if we're going to keep these out of the hands of youth. Because if this flavor ban goes through and it closes 700 businesses, the biggest implication is going to be the significant black market that grows out of businesses like mine. And when our public health groups are recommending, first and foremost, do not use black market vapor products of any kind, why is the governor of New York State going to obliterate the entire industry, thus creating the largest black market in the history of New York State? That seems very dangerous to public health. If you take the lab products that are sold in my store and you take them off the shelves, what you're going to have is people creating these products in their homes.
We are live in studio with Andrew Osborne from Vapor Trail talking about vaping and the new concerns around it. Andrew, there's a lot of talk about regulations around vaping, some of the new things the governor has thrown out there that he wants to do. As of right now, and maybe things that are on the books to be in place in the near future, what are some of the regulations you have to adhere to as somebody who sells the products and the products themselves have to cooperate with?
Well, currently we are under the FDA regulations as far as manufacturing, as well as some retailing regulations. But New York State has also been working to impose some regulations on our industry. And the New York State Vapor Association has actually been working together with Albany and our governor's office to ensure that we do everything that we can to try to curb the youth initiative here. You know, we want to make sure that these products remain available to adult smokers that need them, but we understand that measures can be taken to try to prevent the youth from getting their hands on the product. What happens is, if we close all the businesses, then none of these regulations will exist. So right now we have to ID people. We can't sell to anyone under the age of 18. And in November, that goes to 21. But the way it looks right now, my business is going to be closed by November. And then who's going to be IDing people if there's no more businesses? I mean, if this goes to a true black market, like we're seeing with these marijuana products that are making people sick, then the regulations will be for naught. And it's kind of sad that we work together with the governor's office to make sure that this industry would have a licensing. All retailers that sell this are going to need a New York State license. There's going to be a 20% tax on the product. There's also going to be the most stringent fines for selling to underage people in New York State, exponentially higher than alcohol or traditional tobacco. It'd be a $5,000 fine to sell for the first offense for selling a vapor product to a minor, but now we're rushing to just, we're rushing to prohibition, frankly.
Is there a tax currently on e-cigarettes?
Right now, just New York State sales tax, but as of December 1st, a 20% tax will go on this product statewide.
And in Washington today, they're talking about putting a national tax on e-cigarettes as well. That would be on top of this.
And again, if we're going to look at taxing this product, especially in the interest of making sure that it's regulated properly, our industry has been working together with our elected officials on taxation all across the country. But what is the point of taxing an industry that isn't going to exist?
Do you feel that you're more under the microscope than tobacco is, that you're being more regulated than even that industry is? Because I'm thinking of flavors right now. If you get rid of all flavors, you could get rid of all flavored e-cigarettes. Yet I could still go to any gas station around here and get a flavored cheap cigar.
And in the flavor ban that we're battling in Albany County right now, they recently amended the bill to exempt cigars, hookah product, and other deadly smoking products, and they're moving forward with a ban exclusively on reduced harm vapor products. So to answer your question, yes, I feel like we are being ostracized. And the problem here is that we look at smoking as a quit or die type of thing. It's like, for some reason, if patches and gum and things like that don't work for you, and they have very low success rates, then we look at these people like, well, the only option is cold turkey. If you can't quit, then you're just going to have to smoke until you die from it. And that's not fair. My mother died at 53 years of age from smoking. And the fact is, they're trying to make it seem like our products can make you sick suddenly. And that is not the truth. These are illegal, illicit drug products that are making people sick, and we do not sell those. I don't sell drugs. I'm a legitimate businessman, and before vaping, I was not a businessman. I'm a first-time business owner, and the reason I got into this was because I'm so passionate. I want to save people. I want to let people live to see their great-grandchildren, and it seems like the New York State Department of Health is recommending that all of these people go back to smoking cigarettes.
We are live in studio talking about vaping, the new concerns about vaping, given health concerns, concerns about teens in school vaping. We're talking with Andrew Osborne of Vapor Trail, joining us live in studio. Now, we've hit on a lot of different topics here, but the one that you keep coming back to, and it seems like all these stories keep coming back to, is this idea of black market vapor products, that a lot of the illnesses we're hearing about in the news, you don't hear a brand name associated with the e-cigarette that they were using. It's just kind of, they were vaping. But what exactly were they vaping?
Well, I think what you're finding is that the links are exclusively being associated with illegal THC products or marijuana products. The act of vaping is something that exists initially in our industry as tobacco harm reduction for people to vape nicotine. But now the vapor products are also being used in the medical marijuana field as well as in the recreational marijuana field. And when you're in a state like New York, where we don't have recreational marijuana, what you do have is now a black market of illegal marijuana vapor products that are popping up in our communities.
Well, how much of this whole discussion is about real health concerns, and how much of this is politically driven?
Well, there's no doubt that a lot of this is politically driven, and there is a lot of money up against our industry. I mean, Bloomberg just announced a $160 million donation to the fight against flavors, which basically is a $160 million donation to decimate this industry. I'll say again, 9 out of 10 products that are sold in this industry are flavored. And the reason for that is because the consumers demand it. The consumers need a very specific flavor profile to disassociate themselves from the deadly habit that they have. And now with these latest announcements, we're creating confusion where lifelong smokers who have been using reduced harm vapor products are now being told not to use those products based on something that has to do with illegal drugs. These people who are using vapor products to quit smoking, most of these people, they don't use illicit products. They don't do drugs. They're simply using a nicotine vapor product to stay away from smoking cigarettes.
That attention compared to the attention that tobacco gets now. Now we all know what whether it's advertising restrictions when it comes to tobacco products, how that's been treated over the course of the last 20 years or so. But it seems kind of stagnant right now. There's not too much in changing of the law, except for maybe the age recently, when it comes to purchasing tobacco or how you can sell tobacco. But e-cigarettes, that's kind of a different story. That's where all the attention is right now. Is that only because it's a hot button topic? Why do you think that we're so laser focused on this issue?
Well, the recent moratorium in Buffalo that came from the city council prevents people like me from opening a new e-cigarette business, but it does not prevent me from opening a smoke shop and getting a tobacco license. So I guess, I would question, why are we not putting a moratorium on products that we know are deadly? But more important in the discussion is, the comparison. Oftentimes we're making the comparison of the health effects of vaping compared to not vaping. That's a false comparison. Vapers are former smokers. So we need to compare the health effects of vaping to smoking. And there's plenty of data and science out there to show that vaping is somewhere between 95 and 99% less harmful than smoking.
Are you worried now? There's a lot of talk of we don't know what the long-term effects are because these products are, new in a way to so many people. Are you worried that the laws change now, say 30 years from now? There is no long-term, effect. It's just a negative, neutral, or it's a neutral impact. Doesn't really have any health impact long-term whatsoever using vapor products. But if you pass the law now, there's not really any going back.
Right now, after years and years of independent, university, government-driven studies all over the world, there's no real cause for concern long-term. That is indicated by the lack of carcinogens. Cancer is the number one preventable disease because of cigarette smoke. And you guys just had Roswell on here, Dr. Andrew Hyland. He said 30% of their people are there because of cigarettes. So what we're really talking about isn't just the long term, it's the short term. And that's what I see on a daily basis. I see 60-year-old women who have smoked for 40 of those years and they couldn't go up and down stairs. And now they're seeing an increased quality of life by making one simple change from switching from smoking to vaping.
Do you think it's an accepted fact, though, that the country knows that vaping is a legitimate form of quitting smoking?
Absolutely not. And I think that the American public, the politicians, the media is misleading our public. If you look at the UK, the Royal College of Physicians stated 3 years ago that these products should be used by all smokers who can't quit. And the Royal College of Physicians was the first ones to say in the 60s that cigarette smoke causes cancer. It took the Surgeon General 2 years to come to that same conclusion. We don't have that time. We know these products are significantly safer for smokers, and our elected officials are being very, very disingenuous to public health by telling people not to use these products. A former smoker not using a vapor product is going to go back to smoking cigarettes. It's just as simple as that.
Well, Andrew, I'm sure this isn't the last time we'll be talking with you and have you in studio. It's Andrew Osborne with Vapor Trail.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.